What's going on, everyone? Nicky does that today. We'll keep it in. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. Today, joining me over, I've got Mr. Mickey Simpson. Hello, pal. You all right?
Yes, mate. I'm all good. You?
Yeah, I'm not spoiling what's happened yet, if anyone's not aware, but we'll keep it for one more second because we're going to bring in our third person. That's Kai. How you doing, Kai? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate. How you doing?
Not bad. All the better for Mill getting 3 points yesterday, chaps.
No, come on. It was a dream. We know it's a dream.
Get in there. Unbelievable scenes. Mill will win 1-0 at home yesterday, courtesy of a Jed Wallace penalty. And we beat Bristol City 1-0 to go into 14th place in the league table. I mean, the promotion charge is back on, Kai, right?
Absolutely. You know, I said that as soon as I left the pen last night. That's soon as I left the pen.
Do you know, I so badly want to press something, but I'm not going to.
I don't know what he's going to press. So we're just going to leave it for a second. He's going to press walking over the world. We're not going to do that because we're probably going to get copyright strikes anyway. So
only if we put it on YouTube, yeah. But we're leaving.
I can predict you.
Yeah, just imagine it right now that it's rocking all over the world. There we go.
Yeah.
And then that way we don't get copyright striked.
That's it. I mean, that's obviously us going into the show now. We're going to go into part number one now and talk more about that special win yesterday. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video, and obviously be sure to comment below any thoughts and opinions. And we'll get back to you. So, yeah, let's go into part one now. And welcome to the first part of the show. As mentioned, boys, Mill win 1-0 yesterday. Kai, how did you feel after walking out the den yesterday? It was a great result, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. You know, when you walk out and you've just won, there's a different feeling, isn't there, around the whole atmosphere around the den. Everyone's buzzing. And it was, yeah, we had to wait long enough, didn't we, for another win. So, hopefully we don't have to wait that long for another win. Hopefully we get the next win on Saturday. It'll be lovely. But yeah, it was a fantastic feeling going home from the den last night. And one I felt like we probably deserved a couple times where we just couldn't quite get the business done. But last night we saw the game out and yeah, deserved 3 points.
Come with Jed Wallace, Mickey Simpson, mate. You know, he comes off the bench. It's what he comes on, I think, the 59th minute.
Super sub.
59th minute and does something that Mark Noble couldn't do and scored the goal last time he went on the bench. He scored a penalty. I think it was,
Phoebe went down, yeah.
Yeah, and then upset Jim Wallace and never in doubt sticks it away for his fourth goal of the season and a timely reminder of his importance to Millwall, I suppose, Mickey.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen the penalty is on our YouTube channel. Someone recorded it in the CBL stand right behind the goal and we stole it and put it on YouTube. So it's there as a short. It's about 8-10 seconds long, so it won't waste your life. But definitely have a look at it. It's good. And if you know a West Ham fan, just show them that's how you take a penalty, just so they can, understand. Because Mark Noble fucked his.
He did. I mean, we'll talk about it now, actually. The Twitter thread going around, courtesy of Millwall. You know what? The admin gets a lot of stick, whoever it is that does the tweets sometimes on our handle. Fair play to them. They showed Mark Noble how it's done, didn't they? And, you know, it's not for everyone, as they said, to come on and score a penalty, Kai, after, you know, coming as a sub. But, man, well, good penalty. But also, just, you know, good to kind of rub the salts in the wounds a little bit at West Ham.
Absolutely. You know, whenever you get the chance to do that, you've got to do it, haven't you? I mean, you know, it was a great penalty. He absolutely levered it, hadn't he? And it was top right-hand corner. I was a bit fearful, though, because Daniel Bentley had made quite a good few saves that last night. And I thought, oh, you know, it's dodgy here. But Jed showed his confidence and stuck it away. And yeah, even better to get one up on West Ham.
Mickey, I never knew so many West Ham fans followed Millwall. I mean, the amount of replies they get in is unbelievable.
Mate, do you know what? I think it's highly amusing that it just shows really that how many West Ham fans have been triggered, considering that they spend most of their life telling us that, you know, we're a shit club. We've got this, you got this, you got nothing, you're crap, you're this, you're that, and that. But fuck me, how many of them have been triggered by a simple tweet of, I don't even think the tweet took the piss out of West Ham. It was just,
it was meant for West Ham because Noble came on, didn't he? The week before
But it's just gone mad. Yeah. And I think, you know, once people listen to this and more people catch on to it, it's just blowing up. It's just, I think I'll probably put a little video together of all the Twitter comments for those of you what don't do Twitter, just so you can see. It's just fucking funny as fuck. I mean, I honestly don't understand why West Ham fans attack. I mean, they're giving it going, oh yeah, you've never scored a penalty in the Prem. And we're going, well, yeah, we were in the Prem, but it weren't called the Prem. And they're going, oh yeah, but you've never been in the Prem. Fuck, you know, really? oh, you've never been in Europa Cup. No, we were there 17 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
It's all the Twitter warriors coming out in full force, isn't it? But yeah, nonetheless, brilliant having them all off at the expense.
Let's talk about
the team lineup anyway that Wright went for yesterday. Obviously, Bart Bielkowski in goal, Matt Lamora coming back into the side, Kai fresh from injury, Murray Wallace, Hutchinson, then it was Ballard, obviously Malone left wing back, midfield two of George Saville and George Evans, who I thought was actually really impressive yesterday, both of them. Saville in particular has always impressed me, but Evans, I thought, you know what, fair play to him. And then obviously Ojo, Afobe and Matt Smith up front. Kai, what did you make of the team? Obviously, like I said, Matt Lamora returning stood out for me as well. But yeah, a few definitely good performances yesterday on that side.
Yeah, fantastic to see Danny McNamara back. You know, I think he showed his worth down the right-hand side yesterday and shown, you know, Ryan Leonard and Billy Mitchell have been fantastic there, haven't they, covering in for him. But it just shows how good Danny McNamara is. He comes in and he shows, you know, exactly why that right-back position is his and why he beat, you know, why he was first choice over Marlon last year as well. It's just it's the quality he possesses on the ball is brilliant. He's always safe on the ball. I thought he was brilliant yesterday. Only thing that did surprise me, I thought it might bring Cooper back into the side. But obviously, he stuck with Murray Wallace and you know, Murray had a good game as well. Evans was good. Saville was good.
Saville was brilliant. I think Saville is just getting better and better and better. It looks like his fitness is coming back and he's just there.
It's all because of COVID. Wait before he comes in because of that. All because of COVID. He's waiting to get his form back, isn't he, Mickey?
Listen, fucking shut your mouth, you fucking belly. I didn't even mention it. I weren't even going to mention it. Just because those playing the bingo ain't going to get a score. But you've mentioned it now, so someone's going to call in with a full line or a full house because of you. But, yeah, I just think that Evans was good, but Saville was great. Murray Wallace is just Mr. Consistent. The little bit with him and Malone was great in the first half, double quick. But, yeah, as soon as Jed come on, the whole tempo of the game just changed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what I'll talk about, obviously, with Matt Lamora, I mean, what's the saying? Round circles and square pegs, whatever it is. I mean,
square peg and round hole.
Square peg and round hole, thank you. Leonard and Mitchell, like Kai said there, Mickey, have done great. But, you know, it's nothing like having a natural player playing his natural position. And I think you saw that Matt Lamora yesterday, came back into the side seamlessly. And, you know, he's been away from it for a little while now, but he came back in like he never left, I felt like.
I also think he was class that he gave his shirt to the two young kids yesterday.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And that's class. And I mean, that's what going to football is all about. I just think little things like that really matter. And those shirts, when they give them away, come out of the players' money. They have to buy a new shirt. So fair play to him. But
and I think Saville gave one away as well.
Done the same thing along that same kind of stretch of the ground there. And I think also, you know, I thought the players and the fans were really on side with each other yesterday. And you know, it's only one win, I'm not getting carried away, but six unbeaten as well, so we'll take some positives. I'm definitely more positive than I was on our last show, that's for sure, but hopefully it continues for a while. I mean, like we said, we started the game well, I felt like. Didn't really see much from Bristol City in the first half. You know, albeit we didn't get the goal, I thought, you know, Ojo still looked good. I mean, Kai, I thought Ojo was impressive with the fact that he just gets the ball and wants to run with intent at the players, you know what I mean, and make something happen, it feels like, and, you know, he's proven to be a decent low sign, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. He's got really quick feet, hasn't he? And he just looks really quick and you know, just really able to move the ball really quick, get the ball on his left foot and spray the ball out wide. So there's got one time yesterday where the defender was there, he sort of shimmy to the right, sent him that way, and he's gone the other way and pinged the ball out to Malone, and you know, we started a counter attack. So, you know, I think he looks really dangerous. When he runs at a player, he looks quick, good step overs. So yeah, really, really good signing.
I'm really excited to see obviously Ojo, Jed and Afobe, Mickey. Yeah. I think that's gonna be the key.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I mean, I was quite surprised that, you know, they were all fit yesterday and he didn't play him and then he brought, was, you know, and as soon as he brought Jed on, it just suddenly, the whole game just changed. It was as if the we're not going to lose this, we're going to win this mentality, just, you could just see it sweeping across the pitch and Bristol just knew that they were in trouble. You know, it was as if, you know, it was like fairy dust being sprinkled. As soon as Jed, the whole tempo just lifted. And he was, you know, from the first moment when he run the length of the pitch, it was just, right, this is ours to take and we're going to take it. And it was lovely to see because we're so fed up with the boring football. Don't get me wrong, some parts of it yesterday were quite boring, but a win's a win, mate. We're going to take that and hopefully we can build on that. Up to 14th place now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got to be positive at this point, I think. I mean, the critics will still be out there, and the jury's definitely still out. It's only one win. The important thing, I think, is to follow up on Saturday. But we'll talk about Saturday's game in the second part of the show, obviously. But we had our chances. I mean, Murray Wallace had the heart in my moment, as much as been great, Kai. That first half opportunity where, like, he's kind of gone for the ball. Like, it's one of those headers where, like, you feel like you're going to get it, and it just kind of skips over his head, doesn't it? And even when he's trying to get back up, he falls to the ground. But at that point, he wasn't involved in the play anyway. But it was like a kind of moment thinking, what's going on here? Like, but thankfully, I think it was Hutchinson and Bart obviously dug him out of a hole there and managed to divert the shot, didn't they?
Yeah, what a block from Hutchinson. But when it went over his head, I wasn't quite sure. Byman looked offside, didn't he? I don't know if someone was playing him on, or whether Murray Wallace, it came off Murray Wallace's head, or it skidded off his head. Maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely was a heart in the mouth moment. Because you could see when after we had all that possession and we looked like we were the ones we were going to score, you can see them going up the other end and nicking one off a really soft goal, can't you? So yeah, they had a couple of chances, Bristol City, in the first half. I remember one where ball's gone to the back post and the right back's all on his own. He just heads just wide. I mean, you know, really, he should be pitting the target from there. But yeah, I thought we really deserved the 3 points yesterday. We're much the better side.
I mean, we'll talk about a clean sheet in a second, but just before half time as well, I think it was a Afobe's kind of play through after like a looping head from Evans, and Bentley pulls up a good save, like you said, Kai, made a couple of good saves. But we was definitely knocking on the door, I felt like, Mickey, when it came to that moment. And, you know, thankfully, whilst we didn't get it before half time, second half came along and we got that stroke like we needed, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think we stopped Bristol City being able to play. We just flooded the midfield. We just stopped them being able to play. And their whole game plan just got destroyed. I just don't think they had a plan B. And they couldn't really do a lot. And it was nice to see for a change where we were in full control. You know, it was ours. But don't get me wrong. Our arses, you know, mine definitely was still going, thinking, yeah, we're 1-0. This is going to end in a draw. This is going to end in a draw. This is going to end in a draw. and you just knew that, you know, that's, we both talked about it last week, that it was going to end in a draw, but it didn't. Even we didn't have loads and loads of backward passes either yesterday. Right. It's as if the players listened to our show, mate, because we were moaning about why pass back when you got players on the wing, you know, on one side of the park to the other, just bang it over. And yesterday they just kept banging it over, so you know, it was much better to watch, more aggressive. But Ojo, fuck me, that player is coming on. He's started to come on at the right time. Hopefully Saville and you know, the relationships, what's building between those players on there, it's coming in at the right time. I know it's one win and I know we're probably getting overexcited, but if these players, the potential we're seeing now, start coming on for another 3, 4, 5 games, and then they're going to hit their mark, we could end up having a nice run second half of the season, and you know, it might just do us a world of good, getting to the top half of the league and potentially possibly get for the playoff sides.
And I could be wrong, but sorry.
Go.
I could be wrong. I think Ojo was at Wolves as well, with Saville and Afobe and Jed as well, because I was speaking to a guy, that one of the Wolves fans, and he said that they had Ojo under, I think it was Mick McCarthy when he was there, and they tried to bring him back, but Liverpool didn't want to send him back. So them four have a real good understanding, Jed, Afobe, Ojo and Saville. So, you know, you could see that ball from Saville to Benik Afobe last night. It was fantastic, wasn't it? And I think that's the sort of understanding they're going to have to go, hopefully, with each other.
That's it. I was going to mention, obviously, like, it wasn't all like one-sided. I think it started second half. I mean, on the reflection of play, first half, definitely Mills half. Second half, probably more Bristol City's, especially in the first 15 minutes. I think Rowett kind of was forced his hand bringing on Jed's. But it was definitely a sub needed at the time. And then obviously, like we said, Jed sparked the game into life. But in particular, you know, I think Saville, I mentioned him obviously at the start, and we both agreed he's been great. But that build-up to the penalty that went away, I think he wins the ball just on the edge of the halfway line, comes forward with it, plays it through to Afobe, who's obviously, you know, through on goal, and he gets brought down. Stonewall penalty, wasn't it, Kai? No arguments there whatsoever, I felt like.
No, and I actually thought, I don't know, I can see Mickey's shaking his head, but
it was definitely Stonewall penalty, Mickey.
I thought it was, and I thought he was lucky to stay on with the yellow card. If that's a last man challenge, just, you got to think it could be a red card. At the time, I haven't watched it too many times back, but I was thinking,
I'll take the decision. It was definitely a penalty. It was an easy penalty to a degree, but I'd take the penalty. You know, yeah, it was a penalty, but.
I think there's this new rule of it's double jeopardy. So, like, if they stop the player from scoring a goal by conceding a penalty, but they also then have the intentional contact to do it, like, you know, don't make a genuine kind of rule to get the ball. That's a red card. That's then double jeopardy. But in that case with Atkinson, I think it was Atkinson, the centre half, you kind of see he's going for the ball, but a phobia gets it away from him, if that makes sense. It wasn't like an intentional pull down. So I think with that, they changed it 3 or 4 years ago, didn't they? The double jeopardy rule. And I think that's why he wasn't sent off, Kai. But I do agree with you. Like, it's last man. You think, like, that's, but it, I think it was a genuine attempt to get the ball. I think the referee deemed it as, which is why then he would be sent off. But
just,
yeah.
Just a question, quite, obviously. Just one question. You were both there last night. What was the, how did the atmosphere just suddenly lift when Jed come on?
A little bit. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was, he obviously.
Because watching it, watching the play, it was as if, as I said a minute ago, it was as if something just suddenly come across the team and they ignited. And I just wondered how it was being live, if that's how it was there.
I don't know what the actual numbers of attendance were yesterday, but it didn't feel like there was plenty there.
He said 11,000, apparently.
Yeah, 11,000.
Yeah. So, like, but I felt like, obviously, when he did come on, obviously, everyone was excited, thinking, right, this is the only player that could probably do something for us tonight. Let's hope he does come on and do something. But that's a bit harsh on the others, of course, because they were all great. Yes, that felt like.
Don't forget, the numbers count all season tickets every game anyway. It's not just attendance actually in the game, is it?
Not sure how they do it nowadays. Probably it's just sold tickets, isn't it? I guess not the actual gate. Maybe that actually went. You maybe you're right. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely pandemonium in stands when Jed sticks that penalty away, Kai, isn't it? Great penalty. Yeah.
It was a fantastic penalty. Jed always levers it, doesn't he? He tends to go with the not so much like a Troy Deeney style, where Troy Deeney absolutely just levers it, doesn't he, down the middle, and you can't do anything about it. But
yeah,
Jed levers it into the corner. It's a great penalty. It's top right hand corner, and even if the keeper goes that way, he's not saving it.
I think Bentley tried to predict him kind of going like, hey, no, he does like kind of through the ball and kind of a pace and power. It was obviously power on it, like you said there, but it was a bit more precision as well, wasn't it? Like kind of placing the top right corner and left the keeper no chance.
Yeah, it was a fantastic penalty. There was no, even if he got the right way, there was no chance he was getting it. And yeah, the celebrations that followed were great. And it was almost like a sense of relief, wasn't it, that they'd broken the deadlock and we had something then, you know, and we'd hopefully see it out. And thankfully we did.
I think I said it last week. Sorry, Mickey. I think when it was just me and Kai on last Thursday, we both said, Kai, like, if Jed was available from the bench, like, you can get that kind of performance that we saw last night, where, like, it's the half-hour burst where he knows he's not got 90 minutes to run around, but he can condense it into a 30-minute showing. And I think that's what we got from Jed's on last night's performance. But go on, Mickey, what was your point? Sorry.
No, I think he just tricked the keeper last night as well, because if you look at before he took it, he kept eyeing the left-hand side. He just kept looking at the left-hand side and moving his body towards the left-hand side. And then once he stepped back, he suddenly changed stance. And I think the keeper was already, right, he's going for the, you know, as you look right, I suppose, but as you look at the goal, it's a left. And I think he just convinced the keeper to go that way, because the keeper dived early, slightly early as well, and he just powered it straight in. So, great penalty. Unlike Noble, but, it's good.
I think 15 minutes to go, obviously, he does his customary like kind of sub of taking off Ojo and putting on Billy Mitchell in there in the middle. It worked out in the end, obviously, because we won the game. But it's just, he went to the 5-3-2, didn't he, Kai, towards the end of the game there. But what was impressive, I felt like, was when Mitchell did come on, he saw a lot of the ball, but not only him, but obviously, like I said, Bristol City started half really well. Jed came on, changed game, we got the penalty, and it kind of zaps their performance a little bit. But what I liked was, like, it was all composed on the ball, but we kept it up our end, if that makes sense, in the final thirds. Like, those times where you're thinking, just shoot, like, build. But instead, there's a slow build-up, looking after the ball, trusting their ability, but also keeping the ball firmly away from the defence and kind of keeping it where we want the ball to be to see the game out, it felt like.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Bristol City could gain any sort of momentum, could they, really? I mean, they only had one chance. I think it was, like, 91st minute when, I don't know who it was, I think it was their left-back, and he's pulled, it was a half volley, wasn't it? I think everyone around the stadium sort of took a really big, deep breath in and said, say, oh, God, hopefully that not here. But fantastic block from Ballard, I think it was. Yeah, but we just sort of knocked it around them, and they just couldn't get it back. And it went, even when they did, we shut them down well. Billy Mitchell was excellent when he came on. I thought he was brilliant. I mean, he was everywhere. Even when he missed that chance, about 2 minutes left, and, you know, he's missed a chance and he's gone sprinting over to try and tackle the left back again. He was everywhere. I thought he was brilliant when he came on last night. Yeah, it was a good last 20 minutes from him.
Like you say, unlucky not to score there, wasn't he, Mickey? Yeah. I think it was Jed on the right-hand side, wins the ball with his, obviously, like I said, his little half-hour burst, gives it to Mitchell. Mitchell then plays through George Saville, who's kind of supporting a phobia up top there. And you think his Saville shoot, he doesn't. He cuts it back to Mitchell on his left peg. either corner, it's 2-0. It's a bit more close to the keeper, wasn't it, Ricky? And just unfortunate not to convert that one and put it away, I feel like.
Yeah, no, look, I think on any other night he might have scored that, but I just think, you know, it's unfortunate because I think there's nothing greater for him to score a goal. You know, Millwall boy, all of that. It would have just sealed the night and fans would have gone mad. But look, I think most of those players last night have progressed better. They look completely different to the game before, didn't they? Do you know what I mean?
I name dropped Evans. I just felt like he was hungry yesterday.
Definitely.
But Evans, like, had a point to prove as well. Obviously, you know, Keith Bell's been favoured in there with Saville. Keith Bell set out. And obviously, with Evans on the ball a bit, I thought he showed a bit of quality as well. Kind of, you know, I think there's a time where you kind of put a ball over the top towards a Fobi or Ojo. And, you know, you saw that bit of quality. I still question whether or not he's the right option in the middle of the park, purely just on if he can get up and down the pitch. But he done well last night, so, you know,
Afobe's a good player, though.
Love him. He just gets on with the fans as well. Like, he's constantly, like, kind of getting the fans going, trying to rear him. And I think he has definitely quickly become a fan favourite, then, hasn't he? Like, it's clear to see.
Yeah, he even got sung by the Bristol City fans last night, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah. I think a lot of people obviously can see his character. You can tell, no doubt, he's a just nice, humble kind of player. And obviously, you know, he's grateful to be in the position he's in. And I think also it could be his misfortune off the pitch, which is well documented. I think a lot of people then have kind of, not sympathy, but, you know, they really think, you know, he's just a genuine, likeable person. And a lot of people just, you know, have him in their hearts, I suppose, in that sense. And you can see he loves to be here. He's so happy to be here.
But it's one of those, isn't it, with Millwall, though? The trouble is that if you give your art, we will take you on board and we'll support you 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you give everything, and he does, and the thing is with him is that he's not like a Smith, you know, what wants to hang around the goal to do the header and all that. He can run with the ball and he's not afraid to do, you know, flick overs and this, that, and the tricks and everything else. He's proper ready to run at people. And if he gets through, he'll have a shot. Or he's not a selfish striker. You know, if he sees someone else is in a better position, he'll flick it through to him and let them have a go rather than him take it. So all in all, he's what we've been screaming out for a while. And if he's starting to come on form, with Saville coming on form, Evans, Billy, Ojo, the lot, all of a sudden, we've got multiple players who can score goals and become goal threats. So, you know, fingers crossed it carries on. The only downside last night was Malone going off injured with a quad.
Stole my thunder. Literally what I was going to say.
I'll say his name, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I was going to go, look, with 6 games unbeaten now, a clean sheet as well to make it 2 out of 2 from the season, so to speak. And then, unfortunately, another injury happens. I mean, unlucky for Malone, isn't it, Kai? I think he just went down, didn't he? And obviously looked like, as Mickey said, either a quad or... I don't know if they confirmed today what the actual injury is or not, but, yeah, it's unfortunate timing for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw a couple of weeks ago there was they documented quite well that he was struggling with cramp, wasn't he? A couple of weeks ago, sort of 1 week, 2 weeks ago. But it was funny because as he walked off, he started and he was really limping off and you thought, oh, this is really bad, but... The more and more he walked, the easier that he looked. Do you know what I mean? Like the way he was walking, it's almost like he was like almost, you know, he was cramped up. But I think he'll probably be out for a couple of weeks, won't he? But
he looked like he was cramped, and then I think it was Danny went over to stretch him, and he just went no, don't touch it. But when he was walking off, he kept tensing his quad. So I don't think it was his ham. I think he was quite. You know, whether or not he got cramp in his quad, I don't know. But he was just kept tensing that. And, you know, they didn't look... If it was too bad, they wouldn't have let him walk off. But, you know, he didn't seem to be limping as such. And he was tightening his quad. So, you know, maybe it was cramp, maybe it wasn't. But we're waiting to see what the club declares
shit
over
timing.
The next penalty. Oh, yeah.
Shit
yeah.
timing in the sense that, obviously, you know, a good performance, you want to keep the form going. But with that said, it's... Potentially, if it's a couple week injury, he misses Barnsley, but then we've got the saving grace of the international break in that case. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and obviously, like I said about the clean sheets, I mean, take away the 3 goal on Saturday, we could be staring at 2-1-0 wins, 2 clean sheets, and kind of back to that Millwall kind of, you know, doggy performance, so to speak, going there. So, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, Saturday we can do the business again and make it, you know, 2 wins in a row, 7 unbeaten. But we'll talk about part 2. We'll talk about it in part 2 in a second. But anything you two want to round up on before we finish part 1?
I just think Murray and him formed a good partnership last night. They seemed to be knowing where each other was and everything else. It was just good to watch. Certain parts of it were great to watch rather than this fucking boring. Because I think, you know, the first half, it was like, the first half was quite a boring first half, to be fair. I think we tweeted out, you know, like, it's wake up call, it's half past, you know, it's half time, just in case those of you fell asleep. And then all of a sudden, it just ignited, didn't it? So it was a lot better, so.
Yeah, well, we'll take the win nonetheless, like I said there. And let's talk a bit more about Barnsley in the next part. Back in a sec. Welcome back to part number two of the show, chaps. We've got Barnsley away on Saturday. I'm going to go. Sod it. I'm buying my ticket tomorrow morning, I think. I'm going to drive up there, get on the M1 early doors, and I'm going to go to the game, mate. I can't wait. I mean, it's what a win does kind of to you, isn't it? It gives you that kind of full sense of optimism. And I'm sure I'll be sitting here on Sunday morning with you guys thinking, why the fuck did I do that to witness Barnsley get their first win in, what, 7 or 8 games? Because they've only won one game all season at the start of the season against Coventry, didn't they? So it's going to be a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a tough one. Every game against Barnsley is tough, isn't it? They always seem to do it. They always seem to find a way against us, don't they? Which is really frustrating. But I think, you know, if we're going to, you know, we've won on Wednesday night, we've won, you know, we've put in a couple of good performances now. We're, what, 6 unbeaten, 2 draws, 4 draws, 2 wins. And all of a sudden, that unbeaten record, if we win on Saturday, looks a lot better than, you know, because obviously before last night, it was 1 win, 4 draws, which obviously doesn't look great. But if we're unbeaten in 7, 3 wins, 4 draws, that's starting to look quite a good unbeaten run now. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game, but, you know, there's no reason why we can't go there and get the business done and get all 3 points.
Winless in 8, Kai, our Barnsley. Obviously, they've got a couple of good players in there. They've obviously tried to continue that kind of style of play that they had under Valerie Ishmael last year. But they did lose on the 29th, which was yesterday. Thankfully, you know, to the team that we just managed to be almost better than Nottingham Forest. You know, I mean, they were one up at half-time. Colin Woodrow scored a penalty. Second half, Forest just steamrolled them and won 3-1 at the end. And it was at Oakwell as well. And like I said, 8 games without a win, they'll be eager to turn that around. But if there's anything you can take from that, you know, we were the better team against Forest, I felt like. Hopefully that means if we carry performances in like we've done in the last 2 games, we should hopefully have enough to see off that kind of Barnsley side who are struggling to perform at the moment.
No, we should, yeah. And if I watched the highlights last night, and the goals that Barnsley scored, Forest scored were very soft goals to concede. Brennan Johnson or Zinchenko, one of the two, they've beaten their player on the bot. They've just literally just ran straight. Like, there's 2 players here, and he's just run straight through the middle of them, mm-hmm. and then just squared it for Grabban at the back post. He scored. The other one was, I don't know how Johnson's got through. He's got through, buried it past keeper. And the other one, Johnson's got through again and just squared it to Zinchenko, who's tapped it in. So it was such easy goals, you know, and we'll hope to exploit that on Saturday. And it looks like, well, it looks like having a, you know, a quick front three like Forrest showed last night. Obviously, I know Grabban's not rapid, but, you know, having that sort of Grabban, Johnson and Zinchenko, they thrived off that. So having Jed, Afobe and Ojo could cause Barnsley all sorts of problems.
Woodrow is that outlet, though, isn't he? He's obviously, yeah. I think he's their captain as well. But I think, you know, they lost Alex Murrett in the summer, not only Valerie Ishmael, he took obviously Murrett with him to West Brom there. Obviously, he was the captain at Barnsley. So they are in a bit of a kind of tricky situation there. And hopefully I feel like if we're out the blocks quick, get an early goal, fingers crossed, that could be a game that we just, you know, we can obviously see it through and hopefully put performance in that we all want to see on Saturday.
No, definitely, yeah. The thing is that we're looking to back Wednesday's game up, won't we? And 2 wins out of 2 before the international break, just before the international break going into it, will be fantastic. And it'll be, you know, we would have found some form. And we're going with 2 wins and a win probably takes us up to 9th, doesn't it? Probably 9th or 10th. And all of a sudden, it's looking pretty rosy. So, you know, a win on Saturday can really push us up the table. So, yeah, it'd be great to win.
Mickey, go on Saturday.
I think we'll probably get a win on Saturday. If fucking Luton can stick 5 past Thingy last night, then yeah, I think we can get a win. Do you know what I mean? So,
past commentary, yeah, you mean? You don't know. Who knows? I mean, Barnsley will be eager to turn it around, won't they? That's the thing. So it's not going to be easy, nonetheless. But
I think we'll win, though, because we're going to back of this win. And I think we're going to there. And, you know, we'll probably win 1-2-0. And I think we'll just end up finishing like we did before, coming into the international break with a win. And Yeah, I think we probably win 2-0, to be fair. I just think the team bounces. I just think they play better once they're on a winning streak. As such, when they have a win, they just seem to, everything about them seems to be better. So yeah, it'll probably go the other way and we'll probably lose about 40-0. But yeah, no, I think we'll win 2-0.
I'll definitely be thinking on the way home, what have I done to myself there, driving back home if I've done that. But I think I'm definitely going to go. Honestly, you can't beat that feeling of getting a win and thinking, you know what, like this could be the start of something. And you just want to be there to see it, don't you? I think that's kind of the kind of feeling. And like you said, mate, you know, we're only 4 points behind the playoffs, albeit, you know, we're still only 4 points ahead of Peterborough. So we're mid-table fodder at the moment. But like I was saying for a while, and I said the last two shows, it's time to kind of put that form together now. Players come back from injury, albeit Malone being missing for this game potentially Saturday. It's time to kind of string that form together and show what we're about.
Yeah, there's some winnable fixtures now, isn't there? So, yes, our time to do it.
And we don't know if Malone will be out. It could be a little bit of cramp and they just stick him up with potassium and everything else to get him out and he'll be out. But, yeah, look, you know, worst case scenario, he is out. But we have got players what can play in that position and they're still quite good. I mean, our bench, you know, our bench is great. To have someone like Jed and that sitting on the bench, you know, we've got players what can come on and make a difference. So, yeah, I don't think there's any team what's really worrying you at the minute. We've got the players what can play. It's just whether or not they turn up.
I think Malone, though, is almost that kind of, you know, when you think of that left wing back position, that is his position. You could have said when Matt and Romeo are here, you know, the two of them fighting the position together. The midfield, you're never quite sure who's nailed on. Probably Savile is obviously a nailed on midfielder there. And then Keith DeBell and Evans and Mitchell kind of fight for the other one. But I suppose it's up to Murray Wallace, Clyde, to show that Murray Wallace kind of consistency that we've got from him, where he's just constantly doing a job for us, to, if Malone is not fit, to step in and do a job at left wing back.
Yeah, I think I saw something from him probably a couple of months ago now that he actually said he's more comfortable as left wing back.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you can see when he's at centre back last night, he just loves overlapping Malone, doesn't he? He just loves getting forward. And I think he's crossing and his actual overall, you know, technical deliveries and everything has really improved under Rao. He's been superb at overlapping the wing backs. And when he gets on the ball, you know, barring a few bad, I think he made a couple bad crosses last night, but barring a few of them, he's, you know, his crossing's actually quite good. And having him on the left won't be, it's not going to be a disaster. You know, he did really well there under Rao's first season there. And it also, I know people don't, you know, we want to be attacking, but he also strengthens the defence with him being there, because then you've also almost got four centre-backs. But, you know, and someone that can also give attacking output and also give maybe Cooper a chance back in the side to show that he's the, you know, show that, you know, he's responded from being left out. So I think there could be good signs. And obviously Malone, if he's only out for a couple of weeks, hopefully the international break will take a lot of that time out.
I think that left-side centre-half role suits Murray Wallace. I think, like you say, he likes to overlap guy, but also he can, I think, having that defensive position in, but also he does offer that more mobility on the left side centre half that I don't think Cooper really does. Cooper's obviously a reliant head, been, you know, round the block a few times for me already. But I think, you know, with Wallace there, he just kind of, he's that more mobile kind of left side centre half that likes to kind of get forward, I think, as well. But also defensively, never shirks away from a tackle.
No, and I think if Hutchinson is out again, hopefully, you know, Hutchinson's not out again, I would consider making Murray Wallace captain while he's gone. I think Murray Wallace is just
a good shout.
I think he's excellent. I love Cooper, but I just don't know how much of a leader Cooper is. He seems quite a quiet player on the pitch, doesn't he? I'm not sure whether he is like a Pierce or a Hutchinson and sort of barking orders. I think he's more of a, you know, he's much quieter Cooper. He likes to keep himself to himself. So whereas Murray Wallace, I think Murray Wallace is louder as a player, and you know, he's more of a leader, I think. And that's nothing against Cooper. Cooper's brilliant, but I just think Murray Wallace would be a better leader if Hutchinson has another spell on the sidelines in the future.
I agree with you there, mate. I mean, Mickey, I think Kai said it there, but you know, Cooper's been left out the last two 11s. We all kind of said that's probably the right decision to make, and it's proved to be right, so to speak. But, you know, this is his opportunity, like a little kick up the arse, kind of say, you know, you've lost your position. Time to go back in and put performance in, if that's the case.
Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully that if he comes back in on Saturday, hopefully he does put in a position, you know, put in and show that he wants that position, because well,
it's the first time he's been challenged. Do you know what I mean? Like he's normally been a nailed on starter, always in the team if he's fit.
Every game.
Now it's like
game.
Now it's like, here you go, Cooper. You've missed the last two. You sat on the bench. Show us what you can do again, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully it's that, and you know, it's not a niggle or something else. But yeah, hopefully it's that's the reason why, because of the competition has just forced him out, and hopefully he's hungry enough as a player and as a person to be able to take that on board and just hit the ground running and say, you know what, you're not having my position. I'll keep it back, because until he'd done his shoulder, he was in every game. The season before that, season before, he was in every game.
That's my point. This is it. Like,
and he was consistent. And then all of a sudden, he's had a few bad games, what, you know, really noticeable. So, yeah, fingers crossed he comes in and he makes a big mark and, you know, maybe scores a goal as well. That would do the boys who bet on him the world of good.
The perks of having a full squad almost available for you, Kai, isn't it? That kind of competition. Player dips off a form. It wasn't just one performance for Cooper. A lot of people said that, you know, start the season a bit ropey. He sits out and now it's like, okay, come back in, Cooper. I'll show us what you can do.
Yeah, it's refreshing, isn't it? It's refreshing to see these, you know, these changes, being able to make these changes, because a couple of weeks ago we couldn't make the changes. So, yeah, having players like Cooper on the bench, it just shows the depth we do have in the squad. And I think that's excellent to be able to give players rest if they ever need it, or if players will drop off form, you know, chance to give someone else a go. I think you know, squad depth is really important.
Excuse me. A clear, obvious void or problem, Mickey. 10 games, 10 goals. We said Barnsley's out of form. They conceded 3 to Nottingham Forest, who we drew 1-1 against last Saturday, who probably shouldn't have scored against us, but for that fluke. Fill your boots Saturday, right? If we do get that goal, try and go for it and win comfortably if we can. Do you know what I mean? I'm confident we should hopefully win the game. Whether or not we win 3 or 4-0 is, you know, maybe I'm dreaming there. And, you know, if anyone does back that, fair play to you. If we do turn up and win 3 or 4-0 on Saturday, you deserve everything else you can get with that. But Mickey, it's time to, you know, if the opportunities come to us, score some goals, do you not think?
No, definitely. I think, you know, yeah, I think 2-0. I don't think much more than that. But, you know, yeah, if we can do 4, then great. But, yeah, definitely 2.
Kai, score predictions?
Oh, it's difficult. I'll go 2. And I'll go with Jed and a phobia.
I want to say 2-0 as well. But because you both said it, I'm going to be the blind delusional one that's potentially going up there Saturday and say 3-0 Millwall. There you go. Going to the international break with pure optimism there. But I'm being realistic. We're probably going to end up drawing Saturday. But, you know, as long as we don't lose it and we, you know, we keep the kind of training performances that we're happy with at least. I mean, look, I'll be honest. Half time yesterday, I was sitting there thinking it weren't the greatest performance. I'm thinking it's just the same boring Millwall. Jeb Wallace comes on and you know, ignites a bit of energy into the game. That's it. It's like, so, but, you know, if Jed starts and then you've still got no Bennett and Mahoney available, is there going to be a problem in the game on Saturday? Who's going to come in and change it up? But I suppose you've got Matt Smith on the bench. You know, you give him half hour to kind of make an impact in the game. And I think that's exactly what I want
Do you play Jed or do you bring him on as a super sub again?
Good question. I think if Jed's 100% fit, there's no doubt Jed Wallace starts. That's the thing. And I think if you asked 100 Mill fans, probably 98 would say, yeah. 98% people go, yeah, definitely start him. But obviously, as I think that was the huge perk we had yesterday. Like I said earlier, like if he's on the bench and you've got half hour to go and the game is in the balance, there's no better player to bring on, I'd say, almost in the division to change it and just give him half hour and go, go on, Jed, run your socks off and give us a 90-minute performance in 30 minutes, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting one there.
If you're watching this on YouTube, then get in the comments and just say, you know, with Jed Wallace, would you start him or have him as a sub? And just add in the comments below just so we can see what other people think. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether or not you know, I'd probably say for the next game or two, I'd probably bring him on as a sub, to be fair.
It's almost unthinkable to have him as a sub, isn't it? But I know what you mean. Huge bonus having him on the bench yesterday because, like, he came on, the fans were behind the team all of a sudden again, and you see what he did in the space of 5 minutes, that one darting run, the penalties dispatched, work rate, you know, he won the ball back for Billy Mitchell's chance. Yeah. But then this is why Jed Wallace needs to be starting, because if we don't have Jed, who's going to do that on a consistent basis? That's the problem.
Yeah. No, I think
a phobia's due a couple on Saturday, though. I think that's my...
I think OJ's due one as well.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, all this positivity.
So we're going to go Jed,
it's a phobia. Crashing down.
You're saying a phobia 2, OJ And
I'm saying
Jed,
Phoebe,
that's 4-0 there.
3-0. Phoebe scores twice. And then we'll back Cooper, like you said there. There you go. 3-0. Yeah. 3-0.
No worries.
I'll be more than happy to check in with you guys on Sunday morning and be all disappointed. Don't get me
wrong. I think Saville's due one too.
Yeah, that's it. I think
that's five.
Oof. You're crazy what's happening here. I know we're all off our heads, I think.
What one win does to you, eh?
I think we're all fucking outside now.
There's people
before we're gonna go really close before we're gonna end up being about 10-0.
I think a lot of people sitting there probably listeners thinking, where's this optimism come from? But it's just that's what football does to you, it's what football does to you. No, sir. No idea what you're on about. I think Mickey said there, we have come to a natural end here anyway. If you're obviously watching us on YouTube, like I said at the start of the video, be sure to like and subscribe. Leave a comment in the comment section below if you've got anything to put forward and obviously constructive criticism to what we do. If you're listening on audio, be sure to leave some 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It's greatly appreciated. Check us out on Twitter at ThatMillPods. Check our website out, thatmillpodcast.co.uk. If you want to get in contact with us via email, it's info@thatmillpodcast.co.uk. I think that's pretty much everything. Mickey, you done?
Done.
Mickey's done.
Just correct.
He's
you,
not done. He's not done.
It's .com, not .co.uk.
Our website is .co.uk. Okay, interesting. Good to know. Kai, if you want to put forward, mate, thanks for coming on tonight.
No worries. Just hopefully we can get the 3 points and you know make it a good end to the take a good result into the international break.
Agreed, mate. Well, that's it from us, and we'll be back on Sunday for a bit of post-Barnsley going into the international break. Thanks for listening, guys. See you soon.